Masechtas Brachos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav. So, Mishnah Vav picks up where Mishnah's Dalet and Hey left off, and that is discussing the halachos of a Balkeri. Now, where did Balkeri come into the third parak of Masechtas Brachos? The first parak, the second parak, the third parak have been discussing the laws of Kriyat Shema. A Balkeri is usually a discussion in the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. It's based, as we mentioned at length, on the Takana of Ezra Sefer, which was that a Balkeri is not allowed to learn Torah until he goes to the mikvah. Additionally, he's not allowed to say Kriyat Shema, he's not allowed to daven, he can't make brachas, he can't bench. Regardless, the laws of Balkeri are very pertinent to Hilchas Kriyat Shema based on the Takana of Ezra, and it's for that reason it's discussed here in the third parak of Masechtas Brachos. Stating that, the last Mishnah in the third parak of Masechtas Brachos is going to continue to talk about a Balkeri, but not in the context of Kriyat Shema, but rather just a little bit of a digression. So we mentioned halachos related to a Balkeri, so the Mishnah now is going to mention another halacha related to a Balkeri. Now, the Mishnah is going to discuss someone that's a Balkeri who's Tameh. Now, Balkeri's Tumah in the world of Tumah is considered a Tumah Kala. It's considered a very lenient form of Tumah. What does the Balkeri have to do? He has to go to the mikvah, wait until the sun sets, and then he's going to be 100% tar. The Mishnah is going to discuss somebody that was a Zav that during his period of Ziva became a Balkeri. Now, a Zav is also a man that's Tameh. However, the Tumah of Zav is more chamor, it's more stringent than the Tumah of Keri. And the Mishnah is going to discuss a very interesting question. And that is, what happens if someone is a Zav? Because of the fact that he's a Zav, he's dealing now with a very severe form of Tumah. So for example, he has to make sure that he's 100% clean for 7 days, Shiva Nikiyim, in order for him to be able to go to the mikvah and be tar. During his period of Ziva, he now became a Balkeri, which is a Tumah Kala. It's a much more lenient form of Tumah. So here's the question. Is there an inyan for this Zav, who's also a Balkeri, to go to the mikvah so that he'll purify himself from the Tumah of Keri? Or what's the point? Being that he's going to be Tameh anyways, because he's anyways a Zav, he's almost like a Toivel V'Sheretz B'yadai. He's not emerging from the mikvah clean, because even though maybe he can purify himself from the Tumah of Keri, but he's still going to be contending with the more severe form of Tumah, and that's the Tumah of Ziva. So that's the question, really the existential question that the Mishnah is discussing, where someone has a Tumah Kala and he has a Tumah Chamura. Right now, he can purify himself from the Tumah Kala, but he won't be able to purify himself yet from the Tumah Chamura. Is there an inyan to go be metayer from the Tumah Kala, or no? Being that you're anyways going to be Tameh, you wait until you're able to make yourself 100% clean, and then you make yourself tar. As we're about to see, this was a machloikis tanon, machloikis between the Tanakama, also known as Rav Meir, and his Bal Plukta throughout Mishnayos and throughout Shas, Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Mishnah, Zav Shara Keri, if you have a Zav, and while this person was a Zav, he became Tomei Tumas Keri, or Venida, a woman, that's Tomei Tumas Nida, which is also a Tumah Chamura, Shepolta Shichvazera, where Shichvazera Keri emerged from her body, where the halacha is that a woman that has shichva zera that emerges from her body within a certain time frame from when it entered her body, the halacha is she becomes tummy, and the nature of her tumma is tumas keri. Or v'hamishameshes she ra'asonida, or a woman that was mishameshes, she engaged in tashmish, and she's anida, where again, a woman that's mishameshes also has the status of a balkeri. Bottom line is, you have someone that has a tumma chamura, such as a zav, or a woman that has a nida, and now there's also a tumah kala. The zav himself was raw keri, or the woman that's a nida has tumas keri. How does she have tumas keri? The Mishnah gives two examples. She was polta shichvazera emerged from her body, or she was mishameshes. Either way, says the Mishnah, tzricha tefila, the halacha is she needs tefila. Or he needs tefillah. You go to the mikvah to be metayer from the tumas keri. Rabbi Yehuda Poiter, Rabbi Yehuda says that there's no inyan to go to the mikvah. So the Tana Kamara Meir says, go to the mikvah, at least be metayer yourself from the tumas keri. You're going to merge, you're going to be a zav, you're going to be a nida, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, try to cleanse yourself from any little bit of tumah that you can cleanse yourself. Rabbi Yehuda Poiter, Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no point. At the end of the day, you're going to emerge from the mikvah, you're still going to be tameh. And being that you're still going to be tameh when you emerge from the mikvah, so it's for that reason, there's no inyan to go to the mikvah. There's a well-known Mishnah in the end of Masechtas Yuma, the Mishnah said, everybody knows this, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, Ashreichen Yisrael, how praiseworthy are Bnei Yisrael, Lefnei mi atem mitaharim, umi mitahar eschem, that when a Yid is Tomei, and a Yid has Averois, who's mitahar the Yid? Avichem Shebashamayim. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he quoted two psukim, did Rabbi Akiva. The second pasuk is, it says, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mikveh. And we learn, Ma mikveh mitayres atmeirim, just like a mikveh is mitayr people that are tamei, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitayres Yisrael. So too HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitayres Yisrael. Just like the mikveh is mitayr someone that's tamei, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitayr yid. So if a person's tamei, he goes to the mikveh, he'll emerge tar. If a person's tamei because of averus that he did, if he connects himself, he immerses himself in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Torah, see, he's going to emerge, he's going to walk out, he's going to be clean. The Lubavitcher Rebbe asked that why is the Lashon HaMishnah Ma Mikveh Metayer Es Hatmeim? Of course a mikveh is Metayer Es Hatmeim. Who else is a mikveh Metayer? Tahirim? Only someone that's tummy needs to go to the mikveh. So the Mishnah said, Rabbi Akiva's talking, Ma mikveh metayr es hatmeim, just like the mikveh is metayr es hatmeim, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metayr es Yisrael. L'chur, the Mishnah should have said, Ma mikveh metayr, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metayr. Ma mikveh metayr es hatmeim, of course it's metayr es hatmeim. So Lubavitcher Rebbe shtelled to this Mishnah that we just learned. He said that you see from the Mishnah that Rameir, the Tanakama, holds that if someone is Tomei Tumah Chamura, he's a Zav, and now he was Raya Keri, he has a Tumah Kala, says Rameya Tzrichin Tfilo, you go to the mikveh to be Metayer yourself from the Tumah Kala. Are you going to emerge, you're still going to be Tomei? It doesn't matter, because at the same time, the little bit of Tyre that you can get, you might as well get. So it's true, you're not going to be able to emerge 100% Tar, but at the same time, you'll be able to emerge a little bit of Tar, and the little bit of Tyre that you can get, you should try to achieve. So said Rabbi Akiva, the Ma Mikveh Metayres Atmeim, just like the mikveh has an ability to matire even a tummy, not someone that went in tummy. Of course, if you're not tummy, you don't go to the mikveh. But mikveh is matire as atmeim, that even if you emerge tummy, but at the same time, the mikveh is matire for whatever it was matire. You could be, you can walk out of the mikveh zav, but if you enter the mikveh balkari, you're going to emerge at the very least tahar from tumas keri. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu matire as Yisrael. A yid can do a lot of averus, and sometimes he can have a big peckle that he's walking around with, but if he goes and does tshuva for one averus that he has, or some averus that he has, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's metayres Yisrael, even if you're going to emerge from that tyra, and you're still going to be tummy, but for the little bit of tyra that you got, it's worth it, and it's effective, and it works. Ma mikveh metayres atmeim, just like the mikveh's metayre people, so that even if you emerge from the mikveh tummy, but at the same time, the little bit of Tyre that you got, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metayres Yisrael. And on that note, we conclude not only the third perek of Masechtas Brachas, but really the first part of Masechtas Brachas. So the first part of Masechtas Brachas are perek Aleph, perek Beis, perek Gimel. They dealt with the laws of Kriyishma. The fourth perek of Masechtas Brachas and the fifth perek of Masechtas Brachas are going to go me'inyin le'inyin ba'oise inyin, and they're going to discuss the halachos of tefillah. So Masechtas Brachas, perek Dalid, Mishnah Aleph, discusses the halachos of tefillah. So tefillah is the most basic mitzvah that everybody knows. A yid davens three times a day. You daven shachris, you daven mincha, and you daven ma'ariv. It's interesting. There's a big machloikis rishonim, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether the mitzvah of tefillah is a mitzvah d'iraisa or whether it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah says that the mitzvah of tefillah is a mitzvah d'iraisa. The Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, when he lists the Taryag mitzvahs, so he counts tefillah as one of the 613 mitzvahs. But the Ramban argues. The Ramban says there's no obligation mid d'iraisa to daven. Says the Ramban, I highly recommend you daven. In fact, it's a tremendous chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and that is that we have the ability to daven, and that we can communicate, we have direct access to the creator of the world. But at the same time, says the Ramban, you want to know if it's a mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah. So the Rambam holds it's a mitzvah to daven. The Ramban holds that there is no mitzvah to daven. When the Rambam brings the mitzvah to daven, he talks a little bit about the history of tefillah. And he says, once upon a time, tefillah wasn't organized, but every person would daven when he wanted, how he wanted, why he wanted. He wanted to daven a longer davening, seder, a shorter davening, that was also fine. And then in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, they instituted a lot of takanas, they changed a lot of things. And one of the important things that they changed was tefillah. And they said there should be an organized tefillah. And they came up with Shemayin Esrei, which is the cornerstone of tefillah, which is made up of 18 brachas. But the point is, the original mitzvah deraisa of tefillah wasn't nearly as organized as it is today. The way we have tefillah is for the most part a product of the contribution of the Anshei Knesses Hagdala. But tefillah at its core, yeah, mitzvah, no mitzvah, is communicating with the Rabbanu Shalom. That's what it is. It's having an audience by the Melech Malchei Amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the world of it's not what you know, but who you know, and it's in the world of getting access to being able to ask the right people for the right things, every yid has an opportunity to communicate, not just with someone of influence, but with the King of all kings, with the Melech Malchei Amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and at its core, its essence, that's what tefillah is. And really, that's an idea that it underpins, and really, it threads through all the halachas of Hilchas Tefillah. And a lot of what we're going to learn, and really a lot of understanding tefillah is understanding what it is. A mitzvah, yeah, you could do a mitzvah like this, you could do a mitzvah like that. Tefillah is not just a mitzvah. Tefillah is a conversation, it's an audience with the King of all kings, with the Melech Malchei Amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person had an audience in the Oval Office, if a person had the opportunity to meet with somebody very, very powerful, so he would dress a certain way, he would talk a certain way, he would look a certain way. That's the way a person's supposed to be when he davens. And really, so much of Hilchas Tefillah is not related to the mitzvah of Tefillah. It's not related to what you're asking for, what you're saying. It's just the nature of what it is you're doing. You're standing in front of a melech. And because of that, that obligates you to behave in a certain way. And really, that one theme is critical and vital in terms of understanding the basics of Hilchas Tefillah. So on that note, we begin Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, Tefillas HaShachar Ad Chatzos. So the laws of tefillah begin with the first tefillah of the day, which is Shachar, which is a little bit ironic, because when we learned the halachas of Kriyat Shema, first Me'emes HaKoren Shema Ba'arvin, first we talked about Ma'ariv, then we talked about Shachar. But by tefillah, we start with Shachar. So what's Zman Tefillah Shachar? Up until Chatzos. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ad Arba Shos. No, you can't go until Chatzos. That's pushing it a little bit. 4 hours into the day, that's how long you could daven Shachar. Tefillah HaMincha. What about Mincha? Ad HaErev. So tefillah HaMincha, you could daven up until the evening. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ad Plaga Mincha. You don't have all the way until the evening, but rather you have until the Zman that's called Plaga Mincha. Tfilas Erev Ein Lo Keva. As it relates to Ma'ariv, you can daven Ma'ariv the whole night. V'shal Musafin. What about Musaf? Kol Hayoyim. You can daven Musaf the entire day. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda said, Ad Shev Ashois. You have only up until 7 hours into the day to daven Musaf.